If you turn back to Acts chapter 27, the title is Storms in the Christian Life. The context of this, Paul is sailing to Italy. He's appealed to Caesar, the Jewish synagogue, the leaders of the Jews, who don't believe that the Lord Jesus was the Messiah. They've been trying to kill him for several years now, and he was going to face trial before them, and he knew that meant certain death. And so he appealed to Caesar as a Roman citizen and would rather Caesar judged him than these men. And he's on this ship with the centurions, you see, in the first few verses. We're mainly focusing from verses 7 onwards. And he's on this ship. He's heading there. And I think the first thing to remember is the Apostle Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And speaking to anyone here that is yet to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, what that is someone that has seen their need to be right with Almighty God. And they've heard the wonderful news. And they might only understand a very simple thing, that you're not right with God, that you have done things he's not pleased with, and that God in his great mercy has sent his Son, that all who come to him, to the Lord Jesus, and ask for forgiveness, being willing to turn from living life for themselves and believe in that promise, you will receive forgiveness and eternal life. And all because the Lord Jesus bore the punishment for all those that will come to him. That's the first thing to remember. Now the Apostle Paul is a great servant, and sometimes for the greatest servants, the greatest trials are reserved. And for each one of us, we're a people under promise. We have the promise of heaven and we have the promise of the Lord's help. And Paul, in one sense, was a man under that promise, but also been promised by the Lord that he must appear before Caesar at Rome. If you read back in Acts, you'll see that. And he's going to go through this storm, and there's some lessons to be learnt there. And as Christians, as we journey through this life, whilst we have a glorious future that lies ahead of us, the Lord has not promised necessarily an easy path. We'll know many days of joy and peace, but we'll know days of great trial and tribulation to varying degrees. And I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know what you've been through, what you're going through. And we say it humbly, we don't know what we yet will go through, do we? But there's tremendous teaching here. If you like to have headings, the six subjects the passage teaches about are human wisdom, God's trial, despair, comfort, example, and deliverance. And you notice in these first few verses, by some difficulty, they arrive at a place called Fair Haven. And you see in verse 7 that it's been very tricky getting there. They've been sailing into some winds. And it's a very interesting time of year, because the fast, which is the feast which celebrates the Day of Atonement, is over. Not the feast, I beg your pardon, a fast which celebrates the Day of Atonement was over. That was late September and early October. And once you got past mid-November, to sail on the seas was very dangerous. Paul had recognised that the journey was dangerous to this point. It had been difficult. That's why he says in verse 10, he perceived his great danger. And he says, I think we should spend the winter here. And as you know, in verses 11 and 12, the centurion, who was very fond of Paul, he speaks to the experts, the helmsman, the owner of the ship, and they say, no, we're going to push on just about 40 miles down the coast to Phoenix, and we'll stop there for winter. We know we can't sail. And this shows the folly of human wisdom, doesn't it? You see, sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances as Christians which aren't ideal. And we can be keen and a little bit impatient to escape them. And perhaps we think, well, actually, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And a faithful brother, one of the Lord's servant, or it could be a sister, just says, I'm not sure about that. I think that might not work out so well. We might have an initial sense of unease. But do you know, human wisdom can be very, very seductive, and we can go away and we can rationalise and we can consult the so-called experts of this world. And if you speak to enough people, we'll find someone that agrees with us. And we'll overcome any unease we've had, and we'll convince ourselves that that is the right thing to do. And we might think, well, I'm just going to go just a little way on this intention of mine. I respect this warning, but it's not far. I'm just going to go there and then I'll just lay up there. But sometimes the Lord calls us to spend time in Fair Haven and just take our time and await his timing and his deliverance. Now, I know in my life there's been several times that I have sadly set sail from Fair Haven instead of remaining there. Is there someone here tonight? And the Lord is asking you, and you don't feel drawn to do this, but he's asking you, commanding you even, just hold fire. Just wait until my time. And you're not happy. And you have ignored any unease you felt, any direction from the Lord. And even logically, someone else comes up with something you find attractive. And you're going to ignore any guidance you've had. And you may well find yourself in a storm. I would urge you just to wait. Those that wait upon the Lord in his timing, that is best. Well, what happens? That was human wisdom. We remind ourselves also of trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. As we go into considering this storm and God's trial, some trials, you see, are brought about by ourselves. They're all ordained by the Lord. And others, like Job, God ordained that trial for his glory. He was a faithful man. So if you're in a trial tonight, please don't think, is it because, it may be because you've ignored some direction, but also the Lord does call you to go through testing times. He calls us to test us, to see what's in our heart, to see the strength of our faith, for us to see it. He knows it. Well, what happens? Well, it's amazing. At verse 13, they seem to have got their way, don't they? The south wind blows softly. And listen to this. Supposing they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. It seemed like it was going their way, and circumstances can do that. And we are not the best interpreter of our circumstances and our providences. Sometimes we have these doubts and perhaps these misgivings, which the Lord wants us to have and not to do it. And then we interpret God's providence in our lives in a way to suit us. And we say, there we are, there's an opportunity. It must be from the Lord. And it seems to be working. I'm going to go for it. And we set sail. Well, the sailors did that. And in verse 14, they were found in this terrible storm called Euroclydon. This is almost like a whirlwind, a windstorm. And it was greatly feared by the sailors in that part of the world. It was one of the worst storms. And the storm was caught in it. They couldn't head into the wind. And all they could do was just let her drive. There's no way they could get back to safety. Storms come from the Lord. In Psalm 135 it says this, whatever the Lord pleases he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causes the vapours to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings forth the wind out of his treasuries. And it calls us to walk humbly before the Lord, because no man knows what a day may bring forth. And these sailors set off. They're in this storm. Life is difficulty. And you know, we can set off on a course. We can think we're absolutely fine. And it can just change like that. I was speaking to a man this week, a godly man. The Lord's really favoured him. He's really blessed him in many areas of his life and the things of this world. He's a very humble man. And he told me about one day he had a chest pain, just almost felt like indigestion. And before he knew it, he was told he was having a heart attack. He was in hospital and this little tube called a stent was inserted all the way up there and into there. And they preserved his life. But just by doing that, and he was conscious, he was sitting in the chair or lying down when they did it. He said for 3 months he could walk up the stairs. It took him 2 years to get his strength back and he had a large business to run. And he said, it showed me, I just didn't know what could happen in a day. And that can very much happen to us. The trials the Lord can send, he is our loving Heavenly Father, they can take all sorts of shapes and sizes. Each one of us are so vulnerable in one sense. It can be trials of your health, your body, your mind. Circumstances that cause worry and fear. And I personally think that the worst trials are the trials of the soul, where a believer can feel like they've lost their assurance and be under tremendous doubt and agony. All these things can be sent. Some were all ordained by the Lord, some brought on by ourselves, and some ordained by God to test us. But you know, trials do us good. You see in verse 17, they realise they're in a storm, and so they start to get themselves ready. They've got their cables, they wrap it around the ship. They take this a skiff, which is a very small boat. This is a very big boat. There's 276 men on board. They secure that up. And they even start to throw things off the ship to make it lighter and easier to weather the storm. In a trial, that's when you start to get real with your walk with the Lord. The dross starts to be removed. The frothy things, the things that aren't as important, not necessarily sinful, but have occupied too much of your time, rapidly you start to focus your mind. You start to look at your life and say, what am I doing? The psalmist said, it is good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Trials really do humble us. They remove this dross for our good. It was a vicious, vicious storm. Verse 20. They had no light. Imagine this. I actually sailed around that area. I won't bore you with yet another army story, but in my past. And in the wrong weather, it can be tricky. And they were in these vicious waves for many days. Now, during the day, they couldn't see the sun. That's important for navigation. At night, they couldn't see the stars. And this tempest just beat down on them. And it went on, later on we see, for 2 weeks. And it went on and on and on. And they gave up all hope they would ever be saved. Some trials can lead you to absolute despair. Perhaps tonight you're in circumstances and you have lost your spiritual sight. It can happen. William Cooper, as many of you know, a good man, wrote many hymns which we sing, and yet he was brought to a stage where he tried to take his own life. I was speaking to a man a month or so ago, and a good man who's been really used by the Lord, and he said there was a time in his life he had such doubt, such fear, such confusion. Spiritually speaking, he came, he said he felt like to an abyss. And he was going to jump off. But he said he felt a very powerful hand, spiritually speaking, on his shoulder. And the Lord sometimes causes his people to walk through the very valley of the shadow of death. You remember Christian when he went through that? And the funny voices, and he just didn't know what to believe. What was his mind? What was the devil? Or the Lord was speaking to him? And it is true for a real Christian to completely lose your sense of almost anything spiritual, and you can wonder what has become of you. But the Lord has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us, hasn't he? That's one of our great promises. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Sadly for us, but for our good, we have to go down through these storms to truly see the power of the Lord. That which is worth getting doesn't always come easy, as some of you well know. I think of my mother, as you know, she's had some severe mental health problems sometimes. And I remember once, must be 10 years ago, and she was in a secure unit. And the doctors were seeing to her, she got better. But before she got better, there was a time she was in absolute agony. And she was almost thinking she was going to go to hell. And she was sitting there at this table. And yet she said that the love of God out of nowhere, so it went on for some weeks, this trial, just came in and gave her peace. The Lord will not forsake you if you're going through a trial today. He will not forsake you. He has its length. He has his endurance, and at his time, he'll give you comfort, because that's what happens, isn't it? Paul stands in the midst of them. They'd not eaten, A, because of the seasickness, and when you go through difficult times, you can literally completely lose your appetite. And he gives them a gentle rebuke first, doesn't he? He He says, you should have listened to me. He wasn't doing that to say, I'm right and you're wrong. He wants them to listen to him now because he's got something important to say. He says, look, if you'd listened to me, we wouldn't have had this disaster and loss, but I want you to take heart. Because no one's going to die today. The only thing that's going to be lost is the ship. But the important thing, you're going to be preserved. Do you know how I know this? Because God sent an angel to me. And he told me, I must appear before Caesar. And I'm going to preserve you. And God said, he's not just going to preserve me, he's going to preserve you as well. So take heart. I believe it. God has said it. He will do it. But he's going to save us. We must run aground on this island in verse 26. What lessons there are there. Even the great apostle Paul, the Lord deemed it necessary that he needed an angel to comfort him. We all have our favourite ministers, people we enjoy listening to on the internet or in person, and they can be a great help to us. But you know, they are servants of God. It is God our trust is in. We have very close bonds with people. You read that in the epistles, and they wept when Paul went, and that's good. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you can have sons and daughters in Christ. But our hope is in the Lord. And if a man comes or a man goes, whether his life comes to an end or the Lord moves him on, we have to learn to always trust the Lord. I remember people said to me, do you find it hard now your father's not the pastor? Some people thought I'd find it easier, but most people knew I had a very good relationship with my dad when I was a believer. I said, no, it's been the biggest lesson I've learnt. God is still God. He greatly blessed me under his ministry, and he still blesses me now through other men. So I'd urge you to take heart, friends. We all have these special relationships, but our help is in God. And even the apostle Paul, the best of men, have feet of clay. He needed strengthening. The Lord had already said to him that he was going to bring him in Rome. But we need reminders sometimes, don't we? We're very frail as Christians. The other thing was, Paul was being kept for the Lord's service. And each one of us, God has given us tasks. Some of us don't know what they are yet. And as someone put it in a very crude fashion, you're bulletproof until your service is done for the Lord. That's very true, isn't it? Nothing can happen to you. Your life cannot be taken until Almighty God deems that you have done your service. But I just see the love and mercy of the Lord here. He didn't just preserve Paul. He preserved all those people, other prisoners, rough Roman soldiers, many unbelievers. And he preserved them all for the sake of the Apostle Paul and Luke that was saving with him as well. People spend so much time to get rid of Christians in this world. They want them rid and out, and they don't realise that often God withholds his judgment for his people's sake. But God's mercy to meet Paul in the middle of that terrible, terrible storm. And how many people can testify to this? At rock bottom, when you were despairing, when you had given up hope, that's when the Lord revealed himself to you. He's always been there. At church today, someone was sharing with me, said it's corny, but it's true. The footprints poem, but it's true, isn't it? The footprints about the pair of footprints walking through the sand when the person had the dream, and they said this is their journey through life with the Lord. And then at the most difficult time, there's only one set. And in the dream, the person said, but Lord, I was struggling then. Where were you then? And in the dream, the Lord said to this person, well, that's when I carried you. And I know that some of you here have been through deep waters and you've known this. Some of you are going through deep waters maybe. Please take this comfort the Lord gives it to you. And some of us may yet go through deep waters. But the Lord has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Then we see a tremendous example. You see, the Lord gave this hope, but he does test our faith, even after comfort. And that happens in trials. 14 nights, up and down. The sailors sense they're coming near land. They're letting their lines with weights down into the sea to check the depth. And they're getting closer and closer. They're worried about the rocks. The sailors, some of the sailors are very selfish. They want to make a run for it themselves. They ignored God's promise through Paul of deliverance. And they were going to be very selfish and just get that little boat called the skiff. They were trying to lower it down and escape. And Paul, he says to the centurion, you've got to stop them. You won't be saved if they deviate from this. You must stick to what God has said. The soldiers don't have to listen to Paul. They're listening. They just cut the ropes away. Now the example here is this. Just as day was about to dawn. Imagine this. You're in the autumn now. It's cold. It's wet. The wind is howling around. Probably October. They've hardly eaten. And look at this wonderful example. And this is how you and I can have a great effect in our trials. We can be inspired by this, and we can set examples ourselves. Paul says to them, you haven't eaten for 14 days. I want you to eat. You need to take nourishment because nothing's going to happen to you. But you need this food. Not a hair from your head is going to fall. And then he takes this bread on this ship being blown around. And he looks to God and says, thank you. And he begins to eat. Now, when you feel seasick, when you've had no food, the last thing you feel like doing is eating. The Lord says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he gives us some wonderful promises in his word for us to live on. Promises of wisdom, of provision, of protection till we get to heaven. A promise that everything that happens to us is God working out his plan in our lives. Sometimes it's hard to understand, isn't it? You've probably heard the example from my dad about the Bayeux tapestry and how if you look at it from behind, it looks a great big mess, a mess of knitting and cloth you can't make out of it. And then you turn it around and you see the picture. And that's like our lives. Some things will never make sense until we get to heaven. And the picture's turned around and we see, oh, I see, Lord, what you were doing. God still wants you to trust me. But this is food for us. And if we can learn to live on the promises of God, it will help our Christian life greatly. You know, if we were just in difficult circumstances, in a trial, and you see a brother or a sister, you're going through it together, and they take this food, they say, well, you know, God has said this, I'm going to believe this, and you see them carrying on their Christian life. Well, it encourages you, and you say, well, if that brother trusts God, that sister, then why don't I trust in the Lord? I'm going to do that. I'm going to trust God. Example can be such a powerful thing. The world looks on. They might not say a lot to you, but the world watches for good or for bad. Sometimes people will say something years later and say, I couldn't believe how that person acted in that situation. It was incredible. It was against all human understanding. And yet they were kind. They were patient. They had a peace. They had a hope. Yes, they were sad, but they didn't give up. Friends, if we can let our light shine before men as God helps us, living on his promises day by day, it's a great encouragement and it encourages each other. I remember some years ago, my wife and I went to stay with our uncle, Dr. Robert Oliver and auntie, lovely man. And we went there just sort of feeling, I don't know, I wouldn't say spiritually down, but just not feeling particularly spiritual. And just spending 2 days with them, you didn't realise you came out and you kind of came out into the world again. You felt so recharged. They didn't give us any lectures. They were just there. They were just living their lives. Such a quiet, godly way. It made such an impact. And actions truly do speak louder than words, don't they? Well, this example eventually leads to a wonderful deliverance. You see, the Apostle Paul, he stood there, this one man, with 275 other people, and they all began to eat. They were encouraged. Then what did they do? That's enough. Then they threw the wheat into the sea. Now you think about this. This ship was part of the imperial grain fleet, which was bringing all this wheat back to Rome and the empire. There'd be merchants on there. Maybe they were the ones pushing to get back home to earn their money. I'm sure the soldiers wanted to get back home as well. But when it came to it, anything which would cost them, which would prevent them from proceeding in their journey, from getting to safety, was discarded. And there's a lesson there, isn't there? We go through these trials and we will discard anything that would damage our Christian life. Eventually, God will see to it. And perhaps tonight you've been clinging on to something and you just know it's got to go. It's got to go. Maybe there's nothing actually wrong with it. It's not a sinful thing, but you know, this has got to go. It's holding me back. It's not going to help me get to heaven. It's going to hinder my walk. It's that sin which so easily ensnares us, which we talked about in Hebrews. I have to let it go. Well, that's what they do. And they're wise to do that. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? And if there's a seeker here tonight and you're seeking Christ, and the devil's whispering to you, going, yeah, but you won't be able to do this. You won't be able to do that. Oh, think of the shame of this. Think of the grief you'll get. Throw that wheat into the sea. Cast yourself upon Christ. Give it all up. Give it all up for him. Let God decide what you're going to have. Let him decide what he'll take away, what you need. But save your soul. Cast yourself upon Christ. Well, the day breaks. And I should think they were pleased to see it. They didn't recognise the land. And we can be like that as Christians, can't we? We don't know where we are. But God does. And they see this bay with a beach. And they've got this plan. Right, we're just going to run the ship aground. Well, that was half the plan. But don't forget, the Lord had said through Paul that you'll be saved, but the ship won't. So they've thrown everything out of the ship. They've got rid of the anchors. They've put the mainsail up in the wind. And they're going flat out for that shore. You can imagine it, some anxious faces, they're heading for it, the helmsman's there, the sailors are there, they're getting nearer and nearer, perhaps think we're going to make it, and then bang, God's word can't be thwarted in terms of deliverance, promise and judgment. They hit this place, they stick, and it's a violent place. You've got two tides coming in. Imagine that, in this violent storm, two tides coming in, and it's hitting the ship, and it's so powerful, this huge ship is being broken up in pieces. And how many times when we go through a trial and we get these encouragements and we're persuaded the Lord is going to do something, and yet he will test us as he sees fit to the end and say, will you still believe my word to come true? But no one's died yet. There's another attempt, because the soldiers, if they let any prisoners go, your life as a soldier was forfeit. You would lose your life. So they say, well, we've got a solution here. We're just going to kill the prisoners. We can't be accused of that. And then we'll swim for safety. The centurion who's found that the Lord has given a heart for Paul. He wants to save him. He says, no, you don't do that. Just let them swim. And if you can't swim, just grab a board, grab anything in this ship and swim to shore. You see how the Lord is preserving. He holds the heart of man in his hand. He turns it whichever way he will. His purposes won't be thwarted. We are tested, humanly speaking, to the nth degree, but we're never tempted more than we can bear. And then they swim and they land, bedraggled on a cold autumn morning on the island of Malta. Not that they knew it was Malta. And you know, God's promise had come true. Not one person was lost. His judgment had come true. All that wasn't needed was destroyed. If you're going through a trial tonight, the Lord wants you to know he will bring you through that trial. Either he'll bring you through that trial by taking you to glory, or he has a limit. He will bring you through that trial. His promises will be true. You will look back and you will see that God's way was the best way. He will give you comfort. We need to trust him gently and walk so humbly before him. But it will be his way. That wonderful promise in John 3, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But then we're warned, for those that don't believe in him, there will be judgment. They will perish eternally. A wonderful promise of deliverance. But your ship, your life will be destroyed, and one day you will meet the Lord. If you're in Christ, you'll be brought safely to shore. If you won't listen to his offer of forgiveness and love, then you won't be. His word will come true. Please seek him with all your heart. Be right with him. I'm just concerned because there's someone here tonight. Just feel it on my heart. Just trust God. None of us know what can happen in our lives. It's very easy to say the right thing, but this is a passage to encourage us to do the right thing, to trust God when we can't see him, when we can't feel him, when we're in utter confusion, in utter weakness. Just know that the Lord has said that he'll see you safely home one day. The trial will be finished. We'll know that blessed peace will be glorified and our journey will be over. May God add his blessing to his word.